This is, the first piece is called A Letter from Home, and I often begin concerts with this. It's sort of developing piece over the years. It started in the early 70s, and every time I play it, of course, the nature of our music, the new music, is that every performance is very different, of course. This one, it's structure for the musicians. It's just one pattern, and then it propagates outwards on different harmonics, and it's like a tree. It's like a tree with lots and lots of branches developing. And the idea of the letter from home, it's kind of like people, we'll say if you read these like cosmological books of something like, you know, the antediluvian disaster happened, and then somehow this civilization grew up afterward, you know, and how did they know all these things, you know? It seems like it came from nowhere, you know? And then another antediluvian disaster happens a couple of 20,000 years later, and so the problem is, how do they transmit the knowledge, you know? And some people I'm reading a book recently where the fellow says that myths are the way that scientific knowledge is actually propagated, and at some point people figure out the myths and figure out the kinetic properties and the physical properties that are going on. And so so this piece and a larger work I'm working on called The Driver's Son is concerned with the subject of the transmission of knowledge, you know, and how that might happen and what that would mean, actually, what we consider knowledge. Otherwise, it's a piece of music. This is, there's a version for a chorus and orchestra, and there's a version for two pianists, and this is the solo version. Thank you. next piece is called Spirit, and it was originally commissioned for a celebration of Henry Cowell's music in San Francisco several years ago. And because one of Cowell's most famous pieces is Banshee, of course, there were a lot of people that titled pieces similar to Banshee, and so I used Spirit. it uses a technique that was mentioned in a book by Cowell called New Music Resources. It was written in 1937, I think. And in a footnote, he points out this technique, which you can do live, but hardly anybody ever does it. I don't think anybody actually does it. There's a what it is. There are ways of producing harmonics on the piano without actually hitting the strings or that sort of thing. And there are two techniques for doing it. When you want to produce natural harmonics, you press the notes silently of a chord. This is a G major chord. In Schoenberg, it's called tonlos gegendrückt, pressed without sounding. And then you hit the same chord an octave or two below, and you get the natural harmonics. So you hear the sound. In Cowell's book, he points out a way of producing what are called artificial harmonics. And on some pianos, you can't actually get these, but this is a very good piano, and you can hear them. He gives the example, there's a C-sharp minor diminished chord, which are depressed silently. And then instead of playing the same chord below to get the natural harmonics, I play it a half step lower. So instead of this, I'm playing this. And when I hit this really hard, you don't hear these notes. What you hear is the sum and difference of these two notes, which appear very high up in the treble. See, it has this metallic sound. So this piece, I created a series of chords in a mode, and then played the natural versions and then the artificial version of that chord below, and then recorded the results each time. And then with Tom Hamilton's help, we edited out the attack, so you don't hear the initial attack, you just hear the ringing sound afterward. So it has this very floating, very spiritual quality. And then with this, I play a series of simple melodies which are based on the mode that the chords are based on, so there's a relationship. So this is Spirit. next piece, it's actually two songs that are sort of being melded together. It's from a large work called The Driver's Son. That's the temporary title. You know? Temporary since 1989. So I call it an audio storyboard because it can be realized in many different ways, as a stage work, as a CD-ROM game, as, you know, just many different formats. And the score presents the basic material, the harmonies, the text, etc., the scene, scenario that you can use to build these different forms. There are 36 subjects in the text. There's 36 chords, each of which accompanies the subject. There are 36 scenes in the thing. And yes, I do have an obsession with 36. I don't know. It's very interesting structure, the way it works out. So I'm not going to get in that. It's again, like, it's about the subtext. Well, it starts out as like a detective story. It's just like a missing person story. And this guy goes looking for his friend who sort of wandered into the desert at night. And his father, who was a taxi driver in town, he used to have the taxi driving concession, and he kept going out in the desert doing things, and nobody knows quite what was going on. So it starts at that point. And his friend goes searching for him, so it's sort of a road trip piece also, kind of thing, and he encounters different people, etc. As the piece goes on, you hear each of the chords of this main chord progression presented separately when you hear the subject. And then at the final speech, which brings everything together, all the subjects, the meaning of the piece, everything, you hear the entire chord progression as in its linear form, the way it was intended from its initial thing. And this chord progression is, I named it a couple of names. I was going to name it Home Base, and then I did Reset, and that sounds like somebody else's thing, so I started Restart, and I don't know what to call it exactly yet, but the subtitle is That Abiding Place Which Has No Location. It's sort of, it's like where you come back to refresh yourself, your sense of center, that sort of thing. That is the subject of this particular chord progression. And then there's another song about empathy will be melded into it. So as the chord progression goes on, each of these chords is like a window into a certain atmosphere, a certain way of thinking, a certain set of subjects. And so I'll play now, and things will happen. Things will come up, and I don't know exactly what, but we'll see. Thank you. Next is some more songs. It's from a new piece called The Invention of Memory, which I wrote for Tom Buckner commissioned, and I wrote for his voice and five strings and piano. And so it's a little weird to reduce it to a piano solo, but we'll see what happens. The first song is just, it's just this song, this simple thing, and the entire piece, everything in the piece is generated from this one piece of music. The way it's done is that each reader approaches, looks at the piece in a different way, and there's instructions of how to, like, look at the same material in this different way. And so it just keeps generating more and more kinds of things. The idea of the invention of memory was that I was reading this book called The Seven Sins of Memory. And as I was reading it, the way that people describe different kinds of memory, a memory loss or absent-mindedness or recurring things, various kinds of memory. I thought this is musical. I mean, these are musical forms that they're describing. And so I drew a parallel between nine kinds of memory, or the way that people speak of memory, and specific musical forms. And that's what the idea of the piece is about. I'll play the initial song, and from invention number five, which is called I Won't Forget Our Special Love. And it has to do with absent-mindedness. And this musical form is a drone with internal motion. And then there's various kinds of this. I modulate between different atmospheres of this drone, let me say, without revealing too much before. It begins with a kind of atmospheric thing, and the fellow sings, every night we drift away while at rest, a sleeping beauty, the mind in camouflage, reshuffles the cards and brings sweet expectation. When I walked into your room, I forgot why I was there. I turned to speak to you, but you're no longer here. So that's the first thing. Then he goes into the sort of cosmic part. There's lots of internal clusters, and if you can imagine, like, universes heated up and all these things. This is sort of there are generational things that happen, generational images that happen, and one thing that sort of happened from my generation till now is it's the drone generation. You know, we have so many ways of dealing with the idea of drone, and drone is essentially also that centering thing too, that place of peace and confidence and sincerity, and a place that you keep coming back to. So the cosmic part goes, fire spreads from tree to tree. Save one leaf, you change the weather. The universe creates itself without beginning or end. And for want of a better word, memory is part of the dream. Then he goes into kind of a light mood. I don't want to describe it before we get to it. And the fellow says, got your call, 15 to 3, the Palisades, just you and me. Circle the date, yet by sheer luck, picked you up in the pickup truck. And then there's a chorus about sweet liberty, and they just won't last long now. And then the next chorus is, got your call, you're back in town, the sum of us, let your hair down. You always know the way I feel, now where'd I park the automobile? So it's about love and absent-mindedness and enclosedness and openness and awareness too. It's a lot of things, you know, it doesn't draw a line, like memory doesn't specifically. These forms of memory overlap each other. So since I won't be singing the words, I'll just read them and you can imagine where they go. Thank you. piano has a wonderful bass register, if you notice it. There was, I think the best piano I ever played on was in Hawaii at the Arts Museum. They have a wonderful concert hall underneath. And this piano, I don't know, cost $100,000 or something. Normally when you hit a top key, of course, it you know, on any piano, it decays very quickly. This one is like having piano heaven. You hit the top key and just bing, and then just, oh man. It's like, you know, it's unearthly. This is a very good tune. I like it. Let's see. This piece, the last piece. The procedure for it is from an older piece called The Time Transposing Pianist, which is it takes linear information, songs and whatever, and makes it linear, and makes it simultaneous, makes it vertical, and then translates the vertical into the horizontal. So time is transposed plus the time comes out non-linear, the original linear thing, so that all the ingredients of the linear thing can be interrelated in any fashion. So it has a scrambled time, it has like symbolic references and so on. So you can take almost any song and do this with it. On the Sounds Like Now Festival, I did a version of it with America the Beautiful. And I'll do that tonight, although it's going to sound very different, because I'm just developing it in a different way. The part of the thing is that, what I did for the festival, I assumed that everyone in the audience knew at least the first verse of America the Beautiful, that's all I know. when the little gestures were interrelated, they created also textual meaning images, like, you know, so you can get all the, you know, sort of little, I suppose light motifs, but the little gestures that go with those words also start to make interrelate in that fashion, you know, both textually and musically also. But I'm going to do this one a little closer to the idea of the time transposing pianist. So it'll start with things a little more mixed up. Thank you.
Thank you.